Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chidi and Induo Rampol Chidi every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bible Issues. My name is Dr. Denver Chidi. One of the most common questions I get from people as a Bible teacher is this. How do I know if I committed the unpardonable sin? People would tell me, I think I backslid. I think I lost my salvation. I think I committed the unpardonable sin and now there is no chance left for me. How do I know if I committed the unpardonable sin? So today, I would like to address that particular issue. So I'm going to read two of the most difficult portions of scriptures in the Bible, both from the book of Hebrews. And the first one is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, reading from verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. So this scripture is saying, if you were once enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, became partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if that's you and you fall away, it is impossible to renew you again to repentance. Because if you do that, you crucify again the Son of God and you put him to open shame. So that's a scripture that's obviously very disheartening for a lot of people who think that they might have committed the unpardonable sin. They think they might fall in the category of somebody who broke this scripture. And as a result, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. People often think this way whenever they're going through a bunch of trials in their walk with God. And they're going through these trials and they're not sure. Is it trials that I'm going through? Am I going through trials because God loves me? Is God chastening me because he loves me and I'm a son of God? Or is this a sign that God has forsaken me, that I'm finished, I cannot be renewed to repentance, and this is the end of me? And there are a lot of Christians who think that way, and understandably, you read the scripture without understanding what it really means. It is very easy to fall into that trap, especially when you have people who will teach about the judgment of God without teaching about the mercy and the grace of God, and it creates an imbalance. You see, God is both. God is a judge, but he's also a gracious God. Even in the Old Testament, God was described as being slow to anger and quick to show mercy. So when you preach the judgment of God without talking about the grace and the mercy of God, you create an imbalance. You make God sound like some kind of ogre in the sky who is just waiting for any opportunity to cut you off. And if you see God that way, then any trial you go through in life, you will understand that to mean God's judgment and God's punishment on you. Now, there are two ways Christians go about interpreting this particular portion of scripture from Hebrews chapter 6. The first way is those who believe that you cannot possibly lose your salvation. They will look at this scripture and they will say, this is not talking about Christians. It is talking about people who were going to church, but they were never really born again. I wouldn't go into too much detail on that, except to say, look at the language of this particular scripture. We're talking about, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. They tasted the heavenly gift. They became partakers of the Holy Spirit. Tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. There is only one group of people who fit that category, and that's Christians. If you just take one of them alone, became partakers of the Holy Spirit, there's no way an unsaved person could ever be described as being a partaker of the Holy Spirit. It is impossible. There is only one group of people on this planet, in the history of this world, who has had the Holy Spirit, and that is born-again Christians. So, this scripture is talking about Christians. It's talking about people who have had a genuine salvation experience. They were enlightened. They tasted of the heavenly gift. They became partakers of the Holy Spirit. They tasted the powers of the age to come. And it is saying, if they fall away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. The other way Christians go about interpreting this is thinking that this applies to everybody. Every Christian, once you commit a certain amount of sins, or once you commit a certain type of sin, or once you don't pray enough, then this is you. If you no longer cry when you sing Amazing Grace, they say you backslid. You lost your salvation. I know another person who says, if you don't come to church on Sunday evening, you backslid. You lost your salvation. And it's crazy. If you're bombarded with teachings like that, no wonder you live in guilt and condemnation. No wonder you're living in bondage. Let's talk about the scripture. This scripture is talking about genuine Christians, but it is talking about something that is very difficult. It is talking about if they fall away, and the Greek word there is apostia, meaning to commit apostasy. If they fall away or if they commit apostasy, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. Now, here is a simple way to know if this scripture applies to you. Repentance is a gift from God. The Bible says, God grants repentance to the Gentiles. Repentance is not something that you could conjure up on your own. Repentance is something that God's grace allows you to do. The Bible says, no man could come to me except the Father draws him, meaning that you cannot come to Christ unless God himself draws you. So God draws you to Christ, which is why you have a desire to come to Christ. You see, very often we say we made a decision to accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And yes, that is true. Yes, that is true. That is what you did. But that's not the whole story. The whole story is that if God didn't draw you, there is no way you could have ever made that decision. It is God's drawing that gave you the grace to make that decision. There's no way you could repent from your sin and from your unrighteousness unless God grants you that gift. So, what the scripture is saying, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, which means that the only way somebody cannot be renewed to repentance is if God is no longer drawing them, if God has forsaken them, and if God has stopped working on that person. You know, very often we say God is still working on me. Well, if God has stopped working on someone, then that person cannot come to Christ. They cannot repent. They cannot choose God. They will be a total reprobate. They will have no desire to come to God. Now, most of the times when people ask me this question, did I commit the unpardonable sin? Did I commit apostasy? Did I fall away? Very often, these are people who genuinely want to serve God and they're hungry for God, but it's like they're hitting a brick wall. Their prayers are hitting the ceiling and they just don't know what to do. You see, these are people who are hungry for God, who are hungering after God, and they're seeking God. You cannot seek God unless God grants you that grace. So once you have the desire within you to seek God, then that could only mean one thing. God is still working on you. You clearly do not fall into the category of impossible to be renewed to repentance. The logic is clear. If God alone could grant repentance, God alone could draw you to you, and you cannot come to Christ, you cannot repent unless God draws you and grants you repentance. So if you have a desire to come to God, it is proof that God is still working on you, which means you have not fallen away. Let me read Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will put in my minds, I will write them. And he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Going down to verse 23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. And again, this is another scripture that kind of reads the same way. If we sin willfully after we've received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice for sins. You're finished. The only thing left for you after that is judgment and doom. You're done. You're finished. But there's a deliberate reason why I read some of the earlier verses. Because the covenant that God makes with us says, I will remember your sins no more. So how could God say, I'll remember your sins no more, yet say that if you sin willfully, there's no longer a sacrifice of sins? You see, it cannot be talking about any and any sin. It is talking about a very specific sin. And again, we saw that sin just in verse 25, the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves. The reason the book of Hebrews was written is because the Christians were going through trials, and many of them, because they didn't want to go through persecution, they were drawing back, they were withdrawing from fellowship with the other Christians. So they were forsaking the assembly. And they were doing this because they did not want to be persecuted by the Jews. In other words, they were turning back from Christ and siding with the enemies of God. So that's why he referred to them as adversaries, and that is a sin called apostasy. Apostasy means to denounce your faith. And that was the same sin that Hebrews chapter 6 was talking about. It's the reason why the book of Hebrews was written. So what the scripture was saying, if you commit that particular sin, which is a willful rejection of Christ, a willful rejection of his grace, then that's it. So that is the one sin that you could commit that there is no longer any place of repentance for. Because once you commit that sin, it's a permanent decision that you're going to reject Christ, you're going to renounce Christ, and trample upon his blood. And if you do that, if you commit that sin, here's how you know. You will get to that point where there's no longer any place of repentance. There will be no longer any desire within you for the things of God. So if you still have a desire for the things of God, and you still have a desire to seek God and to follow after him, then you have not committed this sin. You have not committed the unpardonable sin. Apostasy is something that is willful. Notice the word willful. Many people feel you could lose your salvation by accident. That is completely wrong. You cannot lose your salvation. You could forfeit it in very rare circumstances if you commit apostasy and if you denounce your faith in Christ. But even that is something that's very hard to do, because God will fight and he will not let go until there's absolutely no hope. It is very rare and very uncommon for somebody to reach that state. And if they do, they'll be a complete reprobate. You will essentially become an atheist and an anti-Christian. If you find yourself and you still have a desire to serve God, I just want to assure you, you have not committed the unpardonable sin. You are simply going through a series of trials. And what you need to do is keep seeking God, keep knocking, keep asking, draw near to him, and God, in his right season, he will draw near to you. It is just a matter of timing, and you just need patience and to be consistently doing what God told you to do. God bless you. We'll talk more about this next time. We'll see you then.
Tune in to Bible Issues with Dr. Denver Chady and Induo Rampal Chady every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.
Learn to hear God's voice through the Word of God to live a victorious and overcoming life.
Bible Issues every first and third Wednesday at 2:15 p.m. to 2:30 p.m.